Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of Down and Dirty with me. I'm Idaho Bo, and my cohort,
Vivacious Vic.
And today we have our fabulous, glorious, wonderful, heart-centered friend Matt Denning back with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, we love you, Matt. You could be like a permanent co-host as far as I'm concerned.
I love being here, and I love you ladies too. Thank you.
I know you're not always in town. Maybe you can tell everybody what you're doing in Eastern Idaho too, since we're talking about community today and the many facets of what community is, what it looks like, what exactly what community means to each of us. And it's a little bit different because, like I said, it's multifaceted and there's a lot of different things community could mean. One of the things Matt touched on our last show, which was about what freedom looks like to you, was that perhaps there's a lot more like-minded people in the world than we are led to believe, and we're kept from knowing that by the different algorithms, the matrix, the simulation, whatever you want to call it. Is they the U.S. Department of they, as my friend Corinne likes to call it, keeps us from knowing how many like-minded people there are, because you know, united we stand, divided we fall. We are the many and they are the few. And if folks really knew how many people were of the like mind of getting out of the rat race and breaking the everyday have to go to work, have to make the money, just doing it over and over and over again, if we really knew how many people want to break out of that, I kind of think that, to put it in a crude way, their ass would be grass. So we're talking about creating new paradigms and what exactly community looks like. And since Matt, since you kind of were a guru to me in a lot of ways when I met you way back when you were the lead for the Boise Echo Village, I feel like it would be a good place to start with you.
Yeah, you wanted me to maybe encapsulate what I'm up to in Eastern Idaho initially, it sounds like. So what our current paradigm of everything is inflated beyond recognition, like locals cannot afford to buy a home. Nobody I know can really afford what we're experiencing collectively. And so I'm creating this opportunity. I invite others to come and stay, and it's like a living workshop using natural building and salvage repurpose materials that I've been harvesting along the path. And it's out in the middle of nowhere. It's a pretty big commitment to get there, but there's not a lot of like obligation from anybody to go out there. I'd rather it be like this really neat opportunity for somebody to come out and see what natural building looks like and working together with Mama Nature, and see how simplistic and beautiful and rustic and doable it is. I mean, it is a lot of work, don't get me wrong. I it's a labor of love, and what the end result will be is an eco village retreat center for gatherings and plant-based medicine journeys and decompression vision quests, all these kinds of things, as a living example of how we can really create truly affordable housing from refurbished materials, salvaged materials. So that's one vein of like trying to create community, and ideally like doing it closer to populated spaces where people are more available and capable of joining and being able to do a quick trip to and fro would be ideal, but it just isn't what the cards have played out to be. And also trying to create community in other ways, how, like in a previous episode, I mentioned, how do we see our spaces? Like, I've converted my home into a very small intentional community. I'm right in town on a quarter acre, and I have some little outbuildings, like a single car detached garage that I converted into a tiny home. I've done all of this without asking permission from anyone. Like, it's my personal property, and the way that it works, if I'm not harming anybody else, I can do what I want. And I haven't had any grief from any county public official coming and knocking on my door and saying, "Hey, you can't do this." Like, I think we're led to believe we've been fear-mongered that we cannot do things on our own spaces. And I'd like to blow the lid off of that and do what you want on your own spaces and build your thing, exit and build. So I built a little tiny shed that I converted also into a tiny home that is now both the garage and the shed are these cute little homes that I open up as a eco village educational Airbnb opportunity. And then the main home is all community spaces that they're welcome to participate in, and the family members here are all on board of being in this intentional mission of the whole space is gardened out. There's ponds and chickens and bamboo and berries, and I've really tried to permaculture it out, and there's not a lot of spaces that are really left untouched and not producing something. So I have a website that helps share some of the facets of the path, the journey towards what all of this has been for me over the course of the years. The Eco Village project was like more of a collective endeavor trying to help connect community together in workshops and even spaces to have a community garden together and help network us all together. When we dissolved that project due to varying variables, the bottom line is what I'm excited to hear your ladies' ways of seeing what community can look like, and it doesn't have to be labeled a certain way. But my takeaways from that is the network of humans that are like-minded and bringing us together in commonality and common goals of being supportive with our resources together and what our skill sets are, and sharing seeds and creating little potluck opportunities to network us more closely together so we know we're not alone.
Wanted to comment on part of your talk about the amount of work that it is for you over the number of years to create that, and also to start building your space out in eastern Idaho. That don't you said, don't get me wrong, it's a lot of work. And but there's in my experience, nothing comes for free. And we're this is another aspect of freedom that we were intertwining with this talk from our last talk, is that you have to choose what you want to put your energy into. And we are all free to choose that. That is our ultimate freedom. So we all have to work for something towards our goals, towards our dreams. It doesn't just come, it doesn't just happen because we decided. I mean, someday it will, when we really get to the frame of mind where Our thoughts are manifesting exactly what we want, you know, and it happens all the time. I'm a pretty good manifester, but I just wanted to touch on the freedom to choose what you are choosing, and nobody's bothering you about it because you've done it in a very holistic, non-harmful way. And that is a real level of freedom within a city to do what you have done. I do.
Indeed, I have had a little bit of feather ruffling, me trying to learn about our irrigation system and some of the others in my neighborhood where I was trying to find a balance in the force, so to speak. And it hasn't all been peaches and cream, and I have had I've been called on the Child Protective Services thought me living in the garage with my kids as they were young, I was being a bad father. And so there has been layers of like me being reported. And but the bottom line is even after I was surprise visited by one of their representatives, that I was so hurt and so scared that I was going to lose my kids. And I shed tears and I shared my space and my philosophy of what I was up to. And she, like, bottom line, they like, I see nothing wrong here, and left with a smile and
Nice.
elated, free heart to continue on what I'm up to. So it is a labor of love, but like what you were sharing, like we have our choice to focus our energy if we're able to have willpower and determination to separate from the myriad distractions and addictions that this world is so really beautifully good at grasping our time, our focus, our energy, and funneling it into superfluous hedonism. And so really trying to get a grip is like we can really rise above it all if we have that determination and the true desire to get free.
Well, that's superfluous hedonism. Whoa, that's that. I gotta write that one down.
Oh, it's
So we,
dove down that rabbit hole.
Well, yeah, been there, done that. D wasn't there long, but I was there. So before we turned on the recording button, and by the way, we are recording today, we are not taking calls, but you know, we talked about what community actually means. And a lot of people, when you hear about, oh, I live in a community, they think you're living in commune style, you know, like tiny house after tiny house after tiny house. And there are those kinds of places. There are beautiful eco villages all over the world. Findhorn in Scotland is absolutely gorgeous. I mean, but that's a really older one and a very good example. And they're everywhere. But it doesn't have to look like that. A community could be a small town, or if anybody's read the Ringing Cedar series, the Anastasia books, she talks about how people in villages, all the people have 2 hectares of land and they grow their own food, et cetera, et cetera. Well, they all share with each other. And we were talking about how it used to be before modernization, and I'm going to put that in air quotes, a town or a small town or a village would ha they'd have a miller, somebody that people would take their grain to and they would grind it. And there were farmers surrounding the village. There'd be a tailor, there'd be a cobbler, et cetera, et cetera. It sounds like an old kid story. But everybody would trade with each other, and that's another form of community, to where you live with like-minded folks, but you don't have to share the same property. Now, I do know there's a couple people I know that are itching to get some land and invites friends and like-minded people onto their land and start a community that way. But a community could be a lot of different can have a lot of different looks to a lot of different people. There's art communities, there's farming communities, there's all different sorts of communities. And I just want to encourage people to, go within and find that space. Is if this sounds like a good idea to you, I'm gonna back up a little bit and tell a story, a little story, story back when COVID began in early 2020. I was amazed to see how much complicity to what was being broadcast on the airways, how people just shut up shop. People couldn't go to gyms anymore. That's kind of a place you can have a community in a gym. People, everything shut down and people were isolated. There was not much interaction. And at that point in time, I felt like the only way going forward to get out of the matrix, to get out of the conundrum of what has been presented to us throughout the eons is to just exit it and to commune with, in various ways, people of like-mindedness. And so I wondered if either of you wanted to speak on that at all, what that looks like or means to you.
I want to expand on when you're talking about exiting, it has to start in our mind first. We have to exit our mind from even following some of these directives that are, they just assume that we're all going to follow these directives that, we have to get in touch with our intuitive self and our gut feelings about what we're always absorbing through this media, through this government, through this institution, and the medical. We have to get in touch with what our feelings are about things rather than just saying, yeah, going along with these things. And that's where to me, the real building of community begins, is finding the people that you can share your angst and this doesn't feel right. What do you think about this? This just doesn't sound right. It doesn't feel right. Don't be afraid to speak your mind. I mean, everybody's speaking their mind now. You can't go on any social media and everyone's speaking their mind. So why are you afraid of speaking yours? You're going to be shunned from the village all of a sudden? No. People don't care what you think. I mean, they might. I think it's just really important to get in touch with our intuition to help guide us to what our reality, what our dreams are. I've got dreams over here, and yet I'm following all this stuff, and I'm unhappy every day. And I go to, no, I don't want to live my life like, I don't live my life like that anymore. I used to. And so you just got to start changing your mind about it first. And we've talked a lot about that.
Or getting out of your mind and dropping into the feelings, because I feel anyway that the mind is just the translator of what the heart brings forth. So when you follow your dreams, or even some people don't even dare to dream, you have to dare to dream. Just follow your heart, because I think when you get in the mind too much is that's when you can get in a lot of trouble. That's when you can get in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, I think I'm with you on all that too, and what you were sharing with Vicky about our mindset and what we're following, and biting off on mainstream fear-mongering stuff. Like, I remember when COVID was first coming around, and I was excited about the potentials of what that could catalyze for us as a species, like as communities. Like, it's like, wow, this is really gonna open us up to what is real and how we can really thrive and survive through all of this and connect as communities. And I remember throwing together, I've in the past had seed planting potluck parties where I'd share seeds with others and I'd have trays and soil for others to come over and get their starts early in the season. And I threw this all together and, did the same kind of like Facebook events and invitation kind of thing. And when it came down to it, everybody was so scared that nobody showed up. And I was like,
Oh.
wow, this is very effective propaganda. Like, oh no. I was like, and I was sharing,
Yeah.
like, hey, this is really important. This is prime example why we get together to do these things. And so just being brave to critical think,
Yeah.
empirical evidence gather firsthand. What do you see? What are you experiencing? Do you see bodies piled up at cemeteries because of this fictitious thing? I mean, like, there's layers of reality and layers of fictitiousness of what we've been inundated with over the course of decades. So I just encourage to be brave and question and open and be willing to connect with others in different ways, like having a community potluck to have a theme around it, like with natural law or backyard chickens or how to start seeds or any facet of like candle making, or this is what you can do with bamboo, this is what you can do with cattails. There's so many ways that we can connect with one another that are skill building, skill sharing, sharing food, connecting us humans together that are wanting and desiring. And whether we're all living together, as we've mentioned, it doesn't have to be. Just networking ourselves together and providing opportunities to do so.
And it's also about allowing your creativity to come out of the cage. You know, those themed potlucks are very creative, and it's amazing when you just have a few raw materials how creative people can be. And so having though, I that's a really good idea. It's spurring me into some ideas of gathering some people here, you know, to yeah, because you know, we've got a lot of raw materials in a garden and pruning and all the different things that we're involved with. So I think that's very nice.
You had also mentioned, or we had kind of collectively talked about different facets of community and how we can connect with others. And you mentioned with like your daughter's yoga practice and how connected you all became when, practicing breath work and stretches and connecting in such deep, rich ways that you didn't want to separate afterwards. That's so beautiful.
It's
And
so powerful, you know, and
yeah.
there's a lot, you know, we live in a big city, so there's a lot of offerings of that nature, sound baths and, you know, these lots of art openings where people that are really art-minded go and enjoy and support the artists and the different. There's just so many different kind, like you were saying, Bo, about communities, you know, art communities, weaving. I know a couple gals who were big time weavers, and they get together, and you know, those are communities. So we're just trying to help people realize that you can find a lot of harmony and peace within when you enter into communities of like-minded interests, and like I do so much with food, and a lot of the community that I'm in now with the veggie shares and stuff is sharing how do we use these veggies, what do we do with them, you know, and if there's some kind of odd ones, if people I have people asking, well, what's this and what's that, well, I'm giving him chicory, and then I'm giving him endive, and nobody knows what that is, So it's really fun to be really creative, just helping people learn that these are really healthy, good, organically grown foods that you're not going to find in the store necessarily. You're going to find them from your farmer, right? I'm a little tiny, tiny microcosmic farmer here. And it's really fun. My neighbor comes over and she gathers a share and she's going, "Oh, I'm having so much fun figuring out what to do with some of these things." So I love that. And that's my main goal with the small little operation I have here. But it's been very rewarding to see the joy. Oh, and I make kombucha for her, and she's got a 2-year-old and a 6-year-old. And she told me that they told her, "That kombucha that Vicky makes for us, I think she puts her spirit in that."
Oh, wow.
And I'm going, it's like, it was just like, oh, this is the sweetest thing ever.
Those kids coming through now, something special. You know, there's another form of community we haven't touched on yet, and that is the online community. And although, I try to stay off my devices as much as possible and do the real work, and I'll just put that like in the real world, like making my kombucha or baking bread, or I've actually taught a lot of people how to make different kinds of botanical lotions and tinctures and all that kind of stuff. And I just had a request for one. Basically, here my only community is my family. I happened to move here right when COVID started, but just the talk, just hanging out with Matt more has just made me desire that physical community. So I'm part of a online community called permies.com, and the fearless leader is a guy named Paul Wheaton, who calls himself the bad boy of permaculture, and he's having a number of potlucks. He lives in Montana, but in the Northwest, and he's having one at Sandpoint. So I'm grabbing my girlfriend here, my only friend here, Margaret, and we're going up to Sandpoint and meeting a bunch of new people
Nice.
and, trying to connect that way. But back to the online, I have made some of the closest and dearest friends since COVID online. I've only met a couple of them in person. But, I've chatted with on the phone people like Kelly, who called in last week. We've never met in person, but I love that girl dearly. And Beth over in Seattle, and Corinne, I've met a couple times. I've got a friend, Lauren. I've got two girlfriends in Australia, Fiona and Teresa, and we're all just super, super close. So, one day we all talk about sitting around the campfire and making s'mores and just talking all night long. But until that happens, we do have that community. And I
Nice.
think it's important because there's a lot of people who live in big cities who don't have physical contact with a lot of people, because big cities are big cities. What else can I say? And so, if you do have online friends that are really good friends, that's a good start. That's a good start.
It is. I'm going up to McCall to my niece. She wants to learn how to bake bread, and I bake bread for lots of family gatherings and take it, and it's always very much appreciated. And she wants to learn how, so I'm going to go up and teach a class. And I have the freedom to do that because I'm not locked into a job to go, work somewhere. But so I love that the word's kind of starting to get out a little bit, that people want to learn some of the skills that I bring to the table. So that's very rewarding. And yeah, that's a small type of community, bread bakers.
Scavengers.
Bakers, makers, right? All kinds of seekers out there.
Yeah, I tried to, with the Homestead Sanctuary, trying to open it up to more than just the Airbnbers and our in resident family, doing like a monthly potluck, and usually revolving around arts and crafts to entice people to come out and be creative. And
Nice.
it's kind of like a Trojan horse of, like luring them out into this space. And when they, see all the garden stuffs, then other conversations can sparkulate from that, and help them with other ideas of how to switch gears in life to become more free.
Yeah. Did you say sparkle light? Sparkle
Sparkle-ate.
light. Yes, sparkle
Yeah.
light. I love you coming up with these new words, thrival, sparkle. I like that, Matt.
Have a dictionary of
Right
Matt. Matt's
on.
dictionary.
And I think another aspect that we've all alluded to in other episodes is like community, like going to the farmers markets and really not just supporting them and supporting your health and well-being, but like talking to them and asking them about their processes and whether you can become involved with them. And that's a really beautiful network of humans that all go and support that you're rubbing shoulders with, that you can meet new
Yes.
friends. And yeah, it's a
Volunteering, like volunteering.
volunteering.
Yes, yes, yes. That's
I did
really
that
community
when I
Sorry.
lived in the Boise area. I lived in a little town called Cuna, which is what, about 30 minutes from Boise. And I'm one that does not like to take, I like the back roads. So I found this little 2 acre garden where the folks had a veggie stand right there on their property, and I started buying veggies, and I noticed they had some rhubarb. So I was working at a nursery at the time, and one of the women that worked there was taking a master gardener class and learned how to make these really cool art pieces where you get a leaf and you mount it over, you get a mound of sand and you put the leaf over it and then you put concrete on it. And they're really cool. And so I thought, oh, I want to try it with rhubarb leaves. So I asked the wife, her name's Wendy, I said, can I have a couple of those rhubarb leaves? And that sparked a friendship. And little by little, I was volunteering every Saturday there. They taught me so much about growing food. It was incredible what they, and besides the exchange of me helping them, I worked their register for them because they were extremely busy on Saturdays, and them giving me food, we had a lasting friendship. And I met so many people just by volunteering there.
Nice. A guy named Chuck Gray Wolf that Vicky knows. I don't know if you know him, Matt, but just a lot of good people. And I kind of miss Boise in a way. I used to work at Girl Scouts, and that's another way. That's another thing with community with your kids, is have them join a club, or even adults join a club and meet like-minded people. You never know what's going to spark from that. I think the coming together, to come together with what we have in common instead of recognizing what we don't, because that's all in the mainstream media now. If you're to Right.
pit this guy against that guy, Republicans against Democrats, this race against that race, again, they're keeping us divided, because if we're united, what a beautiful world this would be. They couldn't fearmonger us anymore if we are united in that love and that heart. Boy, yeah. Somebody
Yeah, I
else
think
take it away.
it's beautiful, all of the networking that your little crafty endeavor turned into. It's super beautiful. And I think for the listeners that are desiring even more hardcore detachment from the matrix, like I just encourage some research into your own neighborhood areas, not only with like community gardens, that's a good step in a good direction. But if you wanted to be part of a bigger network of humans that are already like hitting the ground running, and they already have space, they already have infrastructure, they gardens and outbuildings and greenhouse, all the animal husbandry. There's so much out there already. Permaculture villages that are seeking, desiring others to join forces with them and create community together. And whatever your skill set, and maybe you may not have a lot of skill sets, but don't let that prevent you from wanting to reach out, because of everybody has got some beauty to offer. And if it's just these willing, open hands and a sweet heart, that goes so far. Like being able to contribute to the community with child rearing and food preparation and learning how to do all of the things together. I was highly encouraged, like researching, 'cause like there's a lot. We can put some links on the bottom of this little episode to help sparkulate more potentials for you. But like the Global Earthship Community in Taos, New Mexico, they have opportunities for you to go and do an internship at, or even become part of their community. Dancing Rabbit, another one of the phantasmic, long-lasting, longevity eco-villages, one of the more successful ones out there. Lost Valley out in Oregon. There's international opportunities abounding, like the Woofing program that you can find online, that have all kinds of projects, communities that are seeking you. Hip Camp is another one that is another way to go explore and share your services and learn at the same time. There's so many opportunities. I just encourage diving into a little bit of research will go so far.
I just looked up woofers. Worldwide Opportunities on Organic Farms is what it stands for. And I woofed, me and Ken, when we went to Belize, we woofed on the farm that we were staying on, planting pineapples and cabbages. And, that, and I host, when I had my yard, I hosted woofers. That's when we had chickens, we had bees, we had, all kinds of stuff going on back here. And I had woofers come, and they help do whatever is needed on your property. And it's such an amazing organization. You get free room and board. You have to travel to their site. You get to stay in their property. They feed you, they house you, but you dictate how many hours a day you actually work, and then you're free to explore the area that you're in and commune with them, learn from them. And my kids, Jay and Amy, they hosted woofers. They have 2 acres of farm, and it's a really, really good learning experience. And you get to travel around to all kinds of different areas, and it's worldwide. You can go anywhere in the world and woof. Woof,
Well,
woof.
woof, woof. Right
So
on.
let's do this, guys. How about we each compilate a list of community building, our communities that are there, ideas, websites, et cetera, and you can send them to me, and I'll compilate them, and I'll throw them up as an article on our BBS page, which you'll be able to find at bbsradio.com/down and dirty. How's that sound?
Or on our
Or
Facebook
Facebook,
page,
which you
which
could.
is Down and Dirty with Bo and Vic on our Facebook page, because I post all your articles and things on that
Thank
too.
you, love. Yeah.
Right.
So we still have about 20-ish minutes. Where do you want to go next, guys?
Well, I'd love to hear from different people on what they're doing. It would be so nice to get feedback, and I don't know how we're going to get that, but people are welcome to get on our Facebook page and hey, your article, or your podcast, this is what we're doing. It'd be really nice to get some feedback from people that we can then share and enhance and support.
There is actually on the same place where you will be able to find our article. If you scroll down the page, there is a place where you can submit emails.
Okay,
So they
yeah,
can
that's
email
really
us through
good.
BBS as well.
It'd be really nice to just start that online community so that we can start hearing from people that our podcasts are reaching about what are you doing? What are you, how did you do it? How are you structuring it? How's it working? Pros and the cons of what you've got going on.
I would like to talk to a little bit of like if people are unclear of kind of where to start, where they are. I think touching again on how vision questing, like dream weaving, like collaging what you want your future to be, and giving your energy, time, meditate with those things. And even speaking, like our words are our spells, and our spells are powerful. And being able to articulate that and not being afraid to articulate that, sharing your hopes, your desires, what you want from community, how to create community. And once you start verbalizing, I mean, like the thought, the vision is a beautiful catalyst to the next phase. Speaking it into existence is the next phase of that. And that helps the universe know what your desires are to help start orchestrating these dreams with you. And to not stop there, because it requires, like Vicky said, maybe at some point in our collective evolution where those thoughts can instantly manifest into reality, but we're not, I'm not there. It requires physical action. And what that can look like is researching. It could be phone call, it could be reaching out to your community, ensuring your space for a potluck. It, like the list is endless of how to start trying to manifest your dreams with action, because a thought is only a thought without any action. It isn't going to go too far.
That's right.
Another thing you can do is volunteer or take a class. Like you were saying earlier, Matt, baby steps. It just takes baby steps. You have to have the courage and the bravery to go for what you want. I do have to say, I have a little story though. I do have to say, I did a verbal manifestation one night. I was talking to my friend Lauren Thursday night, April, or excuse me, January 16th, I told her I wanted a Schnauzer puppy. And the next morning, Lily showed up on my front porch, literally. So sometimes you can speak your manifestations into manifesting.
When everything aligns, it's undeniable.
Yeah, I think there's, along the lines of the research, there's a lot of the a couple of the communities like that you're familiar with Josh Bush and Exit and Build is, I think, their handle. If you look up Exit and Build, you'll find the Freedom Cell Network, and they have laid out a really beautiful outline of how to exit the matrix and find your tribe and co-create what you want your life to be outside of our collective and illusion paradigm matrix. So there's others aside from them too. Just a little bit of research will provide a lot of opportunity.
So one thing I wanted to bring up was, so my friend Q always said that we had a show on BBS called Homesteading, and he always said that when you are free on your land, nobody can tell you what to do. And he was working towards actually reinvigorating the Homestead Act of, I believe it was 1861, which was never overturned. It still is viable. But it's, you have to find land that in succession, there's no successor for the land. Long story short, I just wanted to mention that my friend Robin will have a show on in this time slot, which is Saturday at noon Central. That's going to be our new time slot from now on. And every other week, Robin will be on with her homesteading show. It's taking up where Q left off, and I'm not exactly sure what she's calling it, but it's, let's just for shits and giggles call it Homesteading 2.0. But having land does really make a lot of difference. However, like I mentioned last week, I feel freer than I ever have living in an apartment building with certain parameters that I can and can't do because it's internal. So that's kind of, that was
Yes.
getting off, that's getting off subject a little bit, but we're trying to tie in some of the things we spoke about last time with what does it mean to be free and what does it mean to be in a community. So I thought I'd bring that
Yeah.
in.
Thank you. Yes, that's important. Yeah, just take a step. One step's all it takes, or one question. Just have a good question that you're seeking an answer to, and then start asking people to help you dive deeper into it. I think without the question, I mean, all spiritual journeys has to start with one question. It's like, is this enough? Is this as good as it gets? Something's missing here. What am I missing? You know, I don't feel like all my actions in the world are paying me the big bonus that I was guaranteed if I follow this curriculum, you know. So what's missing? You know, ask if you ask those kind of questions and you're actually interested in finding an answer to them, that's when your real journey begins. And that's with building community, it's with starting with the soil to plant your gardens, and all of these things start with, I think there's more to this than I'm getting. And once again, it requires some effort, because nothing's free here. I mean, I don't know how it happened on this earth, but really nothing's free. We have to work for almost everything we have here.
Well, I have my opinion on how it happens.
Well, we
So,
yeah, I'm well, I mean, I'm just saying, we're
but
the only species on earth that have to pay to live here. None of the animals
exactly.
have to, you know.
Exactly. Do the birds worry about paying rent to the tree where they build their nest? I think not.
Yeah,
You
so
know, that.
that's a whole nother show we should look at.
Yeah, we can do that. We can do that. Anything else you'd like to add to our conversation, Matt? Still have a few minutes left.
I think for those that are maybe in a space of, you know, like tying back into freedom and community and the steps to get there. Like, so one of your first episodes that you shared about building soil and creating gardens, I just encourage others, like, towards those steps of, like, first steps towards freedom and community is grow it, like what Vicky's up to with sharing her abundance with others. And for others to grow food is like such an important step towards sovereignty and freedom, and what we can contribute to community, and even in our own neighborhood, our own hyper local community. I think that's a huge thing that helps network us together. And soil, another segue to the gateway to freedom, or backyard chickens, those kinds of things that help create such abundance, and things that recirculate into creating soil and food and what that provides community right where we're at, I think is really beautiful and some of the easiest and most fulfilling and tangible directions of towards your bigger dream, your bigger goal of community and freedom and whatever that can look like.
I wanted to say that our greatest community is right outside your back door.
Right on.
All the plants, all the animals, all the creatures, all the trees, that really is our community. That's our first community, you know? And you don't have to go anywhere to become more acquainted with that community and share, invite people over to share that with you, and it's pretty simple. And we tend to complicate things a lot more than it really is, but my greatest community is right out my back door. I never want for anything when I'm back there. I get in my zone. I see so many critters, so many bugs, birds come and visit. I mean, it just is really, it's sustaining. It sustains you. It fills your heart. It fills your whole energetic frequency with this rich, it's just rich.
That's because that's how humans were meant to live. Exactly. In community with nature, communing with nature.
Communing.
Yes. I have a little cricket friend that I see every morning. I kind of bother him a little bit when I'm watering my pots. But yeah, and I have birds. I feed the birds, hummingbirds. They'll come all the time. I've seen marmots, and we've even had moose visit my apartment building. So there you go. That's the community here.
Nice. Nice.
So what do you think, guys?
I would just end on the principle of gratitude. It will, if you just concentrate on gratitude, it will take you all the way to whatever you want, to wherever you want to get, to whoever you're supposed to meet. To just start your day with gratitude and being grateful for what you do have. And the universe hears that and they give you more of what you just said you're thankful for. And that's a really good point on our manifesting things, because that's a language that the universe knows. And you just say it, I say it out loud. I tell the universe what I'm grateful for. My bank account, my car, my yard, my property, all different things that I am grateful for. I do that pretty frequently, not every day, but a couple times a month, couple times a week. And you get more of that because the universe then heard exactly what to send you more of.
It's
Uh-oh,
beautiful.
I'm in trouble because I keep telling Lily how grateful I am she found me. I don't need any more dogs.
Oh, yeah, but she's getting bigger and bigger spirit right in
Yes.
front of
Oh, my. Yeah, she's a dragon. What can I say?
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, it's a little bit early, but we can sign off unless you have something else, Matt, you'd like to contribute.
No, I think that ending on gratitude and positivity and trying to create the feeling of abundance and joy and connection, and that's what is going to be provided you. Like if we're spaced in scarcity and lack, that's what it'll be. So yeah, keep your beam
Exactly.
up and keep loving and smiling and connecting in the small ways, and that's creating community, like smiling at strangers along the path and
Yeah,
say
there you go.
hello, like
Yes.
yeah, have a beautiful day, those kinds of things. It's really, it goes so sweet the long way.
It does.
I just want to say how grateful I am to both of you. I, my, mi compadres, I feel you in my heart and I love you both and I'm so grateful for you. And since we're logging off, I'll say how grateful I am to BBS Radio, Don, Thomas, Doug, and all the others behind the scene. Thank you so much for hosting us. I'm grateful for my family and I'm grateful for my friends. And I'm grateful for the community that we are all building together. And I love you all.
Love
Yeah,
you both. Thank you.
love you too.
We'll see
Love
you
all
next
you
time.
out there.
Yeah,
Take
love you all
care.
out there. Take care. And we will be back on Saturday. I don't have my calendar in front of me, but 2 weeks today on
6 p.m.
Saturday at noon Central Time. I got to get used to saying that. Love you
Yeah.
all, and you can cue the music.
All right. Adios.
Ciao, ciao, for now.